WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on Memorial Day weekend. Good morning. Thunder showers throughout the night. Really brutal lightning and thunder. All the kids woke up, ran to the room. And I thought it was the middle of the night. It was really not. It was like 5:30 in the morning. It just brutal thunder and lightning woke everybody up. So we've been up for a little while. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Yeah, we're live here this Memorial Day weekend. I don't know if anyone's in town listening at all. So my thought would be, hey, we're going to continue to do the show no matter what, because a lot of folks will listen to this via podcast. That's the emergence of podcasts, iTunes, on the website, you name it. We certainly appreciate that that way of consumption. So we're going to continue to deliver content here, even on a Memorial Day weekend. When you're in town, why not? And we're here in town, whole family's here, not going anywhere. So good morning. If you are listening live, then you're welcome to call into the show. It's probably just you and me here. Ryan Ely's here. Luke Moss is here. So we've got a little bit of a crew here this morning at WSB Radio. Give us a call in the studio with your financial questions here on this Memorial Day weekend. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. It slows down so much that even church schedules change here as you head into the summer. Folks go out of town on vacation, and we're happy to be here. It's so nice to be in Atlanta when traffic is so light. You can get anywhere in minutes and not hours, and that's an exciting... Well, actually, you know what I need to do is turn on the phone lines. There we go. Now I've just opened up the phone lines before they were shut down. So if you have questions about the world that we live in, earnings, stock market, bond market. What do I do as an income investor? Hey, Wes, I've got a pension. Should I roll it over? Should I take the monthly amount? What should I be doing? Well, we're here on a Sunday morning to help answer those questions for you. And the phone line here in the studio, 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. And if you call in this morning, again, it might just be you and me. I want to talk about this. I have a lot of different things to talk about today. Some of them on the lighter side, some on the heavier side. And I'm just going to go down the list here and get through some of what I think are the most important highlights of the week. First of all, as you can see with this week, a quick data check, the market just keeps kind of pushing itself higher. Dow up 275 points, up 1.3%, S&P 500 up 1.4%. This is just on the week, and the NASDAQ up another 2%. Year to date, S&P 500 up 7.9, Dow up 6.5%, NASDAQ up 15% already for 2017. A 10-year treasury at 2.25. By the way, before I forget, we are going to do a Trump odds check. We did a Facebook Live this week on Wednesday, one of the most watched Facebook Lives we've ever done. It had to do with explaining the Trump impeachment odds that we continue to track. Also, the odds of him staying in office over the next full 4 years. Also tracking those odds. There's a lot of other there are a lot of other portals out there where you can bet real money on political outcomes. And those political outcomes and those percentages we're watching very closely. We talked all about this last week. I think these bets are certainly clouded by emotion. So when you bet on a sports team or you bet on something or you own a stock that you have emotion tied to, it really clouds the odds. So I think those odds are very skewed. But at the end of all of this, it gives us an idea of the collective thought of what we're thinking as a public because people are putting real money. You don't just plop down $1,000 on a bet because you don't think it's going to happen. You have a true belief that this is the outcome, and that's why you're putting real money on it. So these odds tell us something, and right now the odds are continuing to say that there's a high likelihood that Trump doesn't finish 4 years. I totally disagree with those odds. I think they're ridiculous. But again, it's real money placed on this, and we'll give you an update on those odds. But let's talk about the market before we go to the phones here in a second. If you look at just the big, I'm going to call these the big horses of tech. So think of, as soon as you think of technology and you think of, let's call them not the blue chips of America, but the red chips of America, Apple and Amazon and Alphabet, the three A's, Facebook, Microsoft. Those are the big horses of tech, and they've had an outsized effect this year on the market. They've accounted for 55% of the market's rise just in 2017. S&P 500 up again, about 7.89% to be exact. Those tech horsemen have accounted for 4.5% of the 7.8, which again, at some point, you can't continue to see such a rapid climb and leave everyone in the dust. It doesn't happen forever. Just like Bitcoin can't continue to scale Mount Thor without a slip. Speaking of Bitcoin up almost 90% in the month of May, over 150% on the year. We had several calls last week about Bitcoin. And it was from anyone, there were millennials calling about it. There were people in their 40s calling about it. And there were nice old ladies from Alpharetta calling about Bitcoin. Hey, Wes, should I buy some Bitcoin? Well, it feels like Tulip Mania all over again to me. There's also another cryptocurrency that I'd never even heard of until this week called Ethereum. I guess they're made up of Ether notes. The currency is called Ethereum. It's another cryptocurrency up over 2,300% on the year. Anything that is just this unstable, and we're talking about instability north, which right now, if you're an investor and you're a long investor in this, you're happy about it, you're excited about it. When it's this popular, and I'm getting phone calls, emails about it, it's on the cover of every news story, financial publication, it usually ends very badly. And when you see a currency that's up over 150% on the year, you know that just can't be sustained. That almost always ends badly. You can't, I think of the tallest mountain or the steepest face on the planet, something like Mount Thor, supposedly the longest vertical drop on the planet. And that's the scale we've seen these cryptocurrencies rise. And it can't happen. You can't continue to scale that without a slip. 404-872-0750. Ryan wants me to go right to the phones here. We'll start with Ed in Atlanta. Ed, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help? Okay, hold on. Ed, can you hear me now? Let's put Ed back on hold one more second here. Very high tech here in Atlanta at WSB Studios. Ed, can you hear me now? Nope, let's keep going. Let's go back to our next phone call. Randall joins us, I-75 South. Randall, what's going on? Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help?
Nope, let's keep going. Let's go back.
Randall, you with me? Please turn down your radio. What's going on? Wow, we're 0-2 today, Ryan. We've got people that are... Okay, let's go to the next phone call here. John and Tucker. John, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Third time's a charm. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. John, good morning. Okay, guys.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me? All right, guys. We obviously got some sort of technical difficulties on the phones here, so maybe Jason Byers will try to work that out. These are up, not working whatsoever. Let's do one more try here. We'll go, John, do you hear me from Tucker?
Your phone's not working.
Yep, it's not working. All right, well, anyway, well, let me continue to talk about Memorial Day, Trump earnings, Trump. So while we get the phone straightened out here, and I know you've got, hang on for us for just a couple of minutes. Usually we can work these things out pretty quickly. We got a lot of great calls on hold. Randall asks, he's got 500,000 401ks. What should he do with them? John and Tucker, best investments for daughters, Roth IRAs. Sean asks about retiring in a few months, 457. Where do we go from here? So we've got a lot of great calls in the queue, just waiting for technology to catch up with the lightning speed here of Money Matters on a Sunday morning. So we have all this uncertainty in the marketplace. And we there's so much political uncertainty. In fact, I can't remember a time we've had more political uncertainty. Trump, we did this entire Facebook Live again this week about the impeachment odds. Here's a quick data check on where we stand in that. The odds of Trump not finishing his full four-year term, those odds are hovering around 60%. So 4 in 6 odds, which is 60%. Tremendous uncertainty that we're facing. The impeachment odds are hovering around 1 in 3, which is about a 25% chance that he will become impeached, at least as this is through the different betting sites that are they're putting real money on this. So impeachment odds hover around 25% this year, 2017. And even odds, which is 1 to 1, so 50% odds that he's impeached during the first term, so the first 4 years here. These betting sites break it out so specifically, 2017, 18, 19, but just during the first 4 years, they're even odds right now, which is a 50-50 shot. At least the market is saying that he would get impeached. We'll see about that. I think it's still a real stretch. And we talked about this before, but as much as politics impacts everything on a day-to-day basis and really a week-to-week basis, and certainly we see that impact. We see a day... A couple of Wednesdays ago, impeachment odds shot up. Market went down almost 400 points just in one day. So the market, when it gets a true whiff of instability, and it really believes that it will then trickle into the economy or economic issues, i.e. not getting policy taken care of. So tax reform doesn't get done, healthcare doesn't get done, infrastructure doesn't get done. If we get to the point where there's so much uncertainty that all gets put on the back burner, that's when you see markets truly react. And we've really only seen a few days of that panic happening. And we're going to continue to monitor that. We're going to go to quick news, weather, traffic. Then maybe we've got our phones fixed. We'll see. Stay tuned to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. And we will very likely be going to the phones here in just a little bit. A little bit of technical difficulty here at WSB Studios. You know what? Listen, British Airways has been out for almost 2 straight days because their technology is down. This is an airline operating out of Heathrow Airport. Thousands of flights canceled. Hundreds of thousands of passengers stranded. And you know what? Our phones aren't working right now. So it happens to the best of us, and we're just going to keep going. There's a lot to talk about today. And one of because we have a short segment, I've been meaning to talk through the power of companies that have been paying dividends for just a really long time. You think about companies, you think about the best companies that have been able to pay dividends for decades and decades in a row. There are actually stocks that have been paying dividends consistently, solidly, for over 100 years. So a century of paying dividends, which is pretty incredible to me. Anything that lasts a century, particularly when it's a company, is pretty remarkable. Now, some of these companies you're going to know, some of these companies are still to some extent under the radar. So you know companies like ExxonMobil, so they're in the club. Con Ed, the big utility company. You know that company. Procter & Gamble, that's probably familiar. General Mills, that's probably familiar. But then you see companies on the list like the York Water Company. Well, obviously, you can tell what the York Water Company does, but pretty incredible that they've been paying a dividend for over 100 years. Church & Dwight, yes, think baking soda. Well, that was in style 100 years ago. It's still in style today. So there are plenty of companies that you haven't heard of that continue to stay on that list and may stay on that list for a very long time to come. So when we talk about dividend payers, we're not talking about companies that just initiated. We're talking about companies that have been doing this for decades. In some cases, yes, a century. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. When we get back, I want to talk about some of my favorite commencement speeches and what they mean for some of the folks that are thinking about graduating from work headed into retirement. Good morning. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here on this Memorial Day weekend. Live, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here, Memorial Day weekend. It's Sunday. We're live ahead of Memorial Day Monday. And I want to talk a little bit about Memorial Day here in this block and just the importance of it and a little bit of research and history behind it. I think that is fascinating. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. Before we do that, because we have, I know we have callers on hold. For now, I can't hear you through the phone lines. We're working on that. And until that happens, so hang on for a little bit, I want to talk about real estate. I want to talk about publicly traded REITs. We've got a president in office, of course, the largest real estate mogul president of all time. No arguing that. And it's been on my mind, and it's been an investment category that I've owned for really since I've been an investor. So go back, let's say, since I've been in the investment business, go back almost 20 years. In the form of publicly traded REITs. So you don't have to own a giant building outright in order to be a commercial real estate investor. I typically do talks, I'll do investment talks, and inevitably my background with Donald Trump will come up and people will ask, hey, what'd you learn from Trump? And I wrote a book and a follow-up to The Apprentice that really the impetus of that was that it was very difficult to glean anything from Trump early on, particularly when I was in my 20s on that show, The Apprentice, back in the very, very beginning of that show, knowing that this is also a guy who in his 20s bought the Commodore Hotel for over $100 million. It was really hard to relate to that back when I was in my 20s. And it's quite frankly, it's still hard to relate to that today. But that was his first business transaction. Hey, I'm going to buy that building. It's going to cost me $100 million. I'm going to put $50 million of renovations into it. I'm going to hold it for a little while. And then I think I'm going to sell it for $300 million. That's the formula for commercial real estate. Gigantic bets. And when they pay off, there are very few things on the planet that can produce that much wealth in such a short period of time. Remember, it's this enormous amount of leverage. When you take a mortgage on a house, technically you're using leverage. You put down 10% or 20%, the bank gives you the rest of the money. That house goes up over time, over 3 or 4 years, you sell it. You've got the appreciation on the total value of the house, not on your 10 or 20% down payment. That's leverage. When you get into commercial real estate, now the leverage ratios have come down dramatically since the financial crisis. So you can't now, it's not as though you can put down 5% or 10%. And there were days like that. There was a time. Today, the leverage ratios are much lower. So you're committed to putting down a lot more capital in order to buy a Commodore type hotel. But you don't have to be Donald Trump and you don't have to have this enormous gamble on a particular city block or a group of apartments or a duplex for that matter in order to have some sort of exposure to publicly traded REITs. So REITs, real estate, so REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that's the acronym. These are companies. So a REIT is a company that invests in real estate through direct ownership of the property. They'll go out and they'll acquire commercial properties, buildings, apartment complexes, hospitals, things like public storage, shopping centers, healthcare centers, hotels, even timberland can be a REIT. And then they lease that space out, they collect rent, just like you would as a landlord if you had a house. And then they pay expenses. They operate the property, and then they pay the bulk of the income out every single year to shareholders as dividends. In the event of a property sale, a REIT will include any sort of capital appreciation in the dividend payout. So again, you're not only participating in the rent, effectively passing through that REIT onto you to the tune of close to 90% passes through after they pay their expenses, but you're also getting the potential for the appreciation as well. So it's not just a cash flow play. So a REIT is just like any other security. It can be, it's structured very, it's very similar to a stock, and they trade on major stock exchanges. They're also non-traded REITs. I'm not a big fan of these non-traded REITs because there's just not a lot of liquidity. I like the thought of having highly liquid security that if you change your mind, you want to get out of it, easy to do so. And you can do that with publicly traded REITs. They're also somewhat non-correlated to the rest of the stock market. You go back over the last couple of decades, REITs have a correlation that's about 0.57. So that means that they don't move perfectly in lockstep of the market. A correlation of one would be perfect lockstep, market up, REITs up, market down, REITs down. But a half of effectively 0.6, there's not a full correlation to the equity market. And that's a good thing if you're putting together a portfolio and you want to have different asset classes that don't all move together. That's true diversification, really true asset allocation. So today, publicly traded REITs, market cap total of about $600 billion. So it's only about 3% of the total stock market. Commercial real estate accounts for close to 13% of the U.S. economy. So the publicly traded group, so market cap is only about 3% and really, really underrepresented to some extent by the stock market. So publicly traded REITs differ from common stocks. They're comprised of collateralization of a whole bunch of properties all bundled together, and they have this special tax structure, again, that gets passed through to you. Those dividends essentially come out, and you've got to pay ordinary income on that. So you have to pay ordinary income on your tax return when that income passes through to you. So part of owning a REIT, and to some extent, yes, it's best to hold it in an IRA or a SEP IRA or some sort of retirement account or tax-deferred accounts, but really you could say that with anything. So anything income-oriented, to some extent, you could make an argument that, sure, everything's better in a tax-sheltered or tax-protected, tax-deferred account. How much should you really have in REITs? For many years, I've always said, again, as I started talking about in the beginning of this segment, I've always had some exposure to REITs. It might be as low as 2%. It might be as high as 15%, depending on how you feel about that marketplace, depending on your need. I think of REITs, though, yes, you get appreciation. They've been a really strong asset class over the last several decades, but you also get a pretty high level of current income. If you looked at Vanguard's REIT today, VNQ, it's an ETF that holds a really broad collection of different real estate companies. You're going to get around anywhere from 4 to 4.5% distribution that comes out of that every year. In a world where the 10-year treasury yield is only 2.25%, 10-year treasury bond only pays 2.25%, which is just not a lot. A REIT paying 4 to 4.5%, that's pretty significant relative to where we can find income otherwise. What's also really interesting to me about REITs has to do with the different duration of REITs. So if you think about, if interest rates go up, then all of my interest rate sensitive areas that I invest in, doesn't that hurt them? And to some extent, REITs as an asset class, they do. If you can look back at the taper tantrum back in 2013, you look at as rates went up in 2013, there was this scare that, rates are going, the 10-year treasury is going over 3%. Well, it also happened after the election. Rates are going up again and they're not going to stop. You saw things like utilities and REITs, which are interest rate sensitive in the short term, take it on the chin to some extent. What's interesting, though, after the initial shock is over, call it a month, 2-3 months, that rising interest rates are actually good for REITs as an asset class. So if you go back over the last 20 years, REITs have been one of the best indexes or overall market segments to track. It's actually outperformed the S&P 500. If you look at REITs over the last 20 years, they've averaged almost 11% per annum, which is a pretty incredible run. It's outpaced the S&P 500, it's outpaced bonds, it's outpaced international, it's outpaced gold, it's outpaced oil. But if you isolate, again, over the last 20 years, the periods of time when rates are going higher, REITs have not gone down. They've actually done even better than their long-term average. They've averaged closer to 18.5% per annum. Why is that? Well, yes, maybe they're interest rate sensitive in the short run, but remember why we have to understand and remember that interest rates, when they're going up, it's usually because the economy's getting better and the economy can handle higher interest rates. And the bond market signals that, the Fed signals that. So from an economic perspective, we're getting a tailwind. And REITs, again, like any other company, are economically sensitive. If you've got tenants clamoring to get into Simon Property, Lennox Mall, what do? If you're Simon Mall, you raise the rent. So if you have the ability to raise the rent and choose better tenants, you've got a better business for the next 12 months, and it's good for shareholders. If you've got tons of people clamoring to get new apartments, again, you get better tenants and you raise the rent, hence higher distributions out to shareholders. If you've got tons of people that need public storage, you can raise your lease rates on your public storage shed. And so as you, again, if hospitals are busy and you've got lots of economic activity in a city right around a hospital owned by a REIT, well, again, the business will support higher lease rates, higher rental rates, and it's good for shareholders. So think of rates going up as this underlying tide of a better economy, which ultimately really helps REITs. This is a topic I've wanted to get to for a long time. Again, I typically look at REITs, whether it's a hotel or a hospital, a public storage, whether it's timberland, depending on how quickly these companies can adjust their pricing is to some extent analogous to the duration of the REIT. So a short-term REIT can be analogous to a short-term bond. It quickly adjusts its rental rates or its income cash flow. Think of a hotel. It can change rates overnight. An apartment complex can change rates over a few months, whereas something like a hospital or a mall would have a longer cycle on how they manipulate or modify or change their cash flow, i.e. from their rents. So just think of that in the context of the rate world we're in when you're exploring REITs. We're gonna come back quickly. We've got another segment here in this 9 o'clock hour. You're tuned into Money Matters. I am your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. We're here live on Memorial Day weekend. So good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, Memorial Day weekend. We are live here in the studio here every Sunday morning, and we're going to continue to do so. So thanks for joining us here on a Sunday morning. I want to talk, and I know it's Memorial Day weekend, and I want to talk a little bit about this holiday. And this is obviously the time of year that we celebrate and we remember those that we've lost in war. Memorial Day is a time that we recognize and we thank the men and women that have given service to our country. And they gave their lives for our freedom and then for our way of life and the way of life that we enjoy that is really unparalleled around the world. And it's quite frankly, it's unmatched in the history of the world. And the list of war is long. The list of those that we have lost is even longer. And we owe so much to those who have given their lives for this country. But if you go back and you just do a quick history lesson, you remember the massive amount of casualties and those that are lost on the battlefield, the American Revolution, the Civil War, War I, II, Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War, Iraq War. The number of deaths from combat is enormous. Over 650,000 people. Add to the list those who during wartime died because of the war through disease and starvation. The number grows another almost 700,000 Americans. That means we've lost over 1.3 million Americans to the plight of war in the name of our freedom And that's why we observe and we remember this weekend for our loved ones. There's a poem that I've read for a lot of Memorial Day weekends, a lot of Memorial Day holidays that I find it actually prompted me to do some research. And I'm going to do that in the 10 o'clock hour, because I don't know if I've read a poem on Money Matters before. It's short. But we'll do that in the 10 o'clock hour. So stay tuned. Thanks for joining us here on this Memorial Day weekend. Good morning.